This is Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men ready for battle must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous.
Friends, let's pray. Our great God and Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that as we come to look at it now, that you would open it up for us and we might understand it and be able to see how it applies to our lives. And then in the power of your Spirit, Lord, we pray that we would apply it and take it seriously, and it would change us to be more like Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. Well, as you've heard, we're starting a series on the book of Joshua. Now, how does Joshua fit in the Bible? Well, it's the sixth book of the Bible. So there's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua. But how does it fit? Well, at the beginning of the book of Genesis, God makes a wonderful world. But then, very sadly, the people in the world muck it up. That's Genesis 3. And so by Genesis 12, God begins a rescue plan for the world. And God's rescue plan begins by calling a man named Abraham. And Abraham, it's called from up on the Euphrates, which I think was over there, wasn't it? Up on the Euphrates, to go to the land of Canaan, right into the middle of it. And in fact, as soon as he arrives, he goes right over the land of Canaan. And there Abraham's family starts to grow. But later, under a descendant of Abraham called Joseph, the people move out of the land and they move into Egypt, which is behind the sound desk. They move into Egypt, And they do that to avoid a great famine. That's the book of Genesis. Then in Exodus, book 2, we find out that the people stayed in Egypt for 400 years and they grew in number. But sadly, in Egypt, they became slaves of Pharaoh and they were treated appallingly. And so as slaves, they cried out to God for God to rescue them. And God did rescue the people from slavery through the first Passover. And Moses was the leader of this rescue. And Moses led the people out of Egypt. And once out of Egypt, God gave the people his law, which we find in the books of Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So we've got through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. But once out of Egypt, the people continued to rebel against God. And as a result, they are stuck in the desert between Egypt and Israel, stuck there for 40 years. But for all those 40 years, a reasonable length of time, for all those 40 years, Moses has one assistant, Joshua. It's where we're introduced to Joshua. Joshua was born in Egypt. And even at the beginning of the 40 years, Joshua and a guy called Caleb and 10 others were sent by Moses into the land of Canaan to check it out. And they came back and they reported it was an absolutely wonderful land, flowing with milk and honey was their description. And Joshua and Caleb said, "Let's go in. God's given it to us." And the other 10 spies said, "No way. We'll just get crushed by the people who live there." And their testimony won out. So the people went off into the desert for 40 years. But Joshua, even back then, had been shown himself to be a man who was trusting God. But now, finally, the people are ready to come into the land of Canaan. And just as they're ready to go in, Moses dies. Moses dies. Hold that while I just go back over the geography, because it's going to be very important for this whole book. This is the slide that Tracy had up on the screen before. You can see Egypt and Israel. And it's on our televisions most nights at the moment. Now, the good thing about Egypt, compared to the rest of the map, is in 3,000 years, Egypt hasn't changed. Interesting fact. The rest has all changed completely. So going back more than 3,000 years, you can see on the map that I've now put up, Egypt on the left, what someone has estimated, we don't exactly know why, where, apart from Mount Sinai and the places that are named, where the Israelites spent 40 years wandering around when it actually should only take a few weeks. And then they actually came not quite to Jericho, that's jumping the story, they came to just east of the Jordan River, and that's where they were when Moses died. And actually, there are 12 tribes of Israel. Interestingly, 2.5 tribes actually settled on the land on the eastern side of the Jordan River. So they were home. But the other 9.5 tribes need to cross the Jordan River because God is giving them the land on the west side of the River Jordan. Now, talking about God giving people the land of Canaan raises for us a whole lot of questions, especially about the place of Israel today, and is it a God-given right for them to live there, and so on and so forth, and why would God give people someone else's land, and what's going on here? Well, those are important questions, which we will come back to, but we're not going to deal with them this week, so hold that. So, as we come to the beginning of the book of Joshua, 9.5 tribes are ready to move into the land which God has said is giving them. Again, 2.5 already settled east of Jordan. But as we turn to Joshua chapter 1, it actually focuses in on another question. Moses has just died. And Moses has been this amazing leader. In fact, probably in all of the Old Testament, there is no greater leader of people than Moses. He's the standout leader. Sure, he failed at times, but overall the standout leader. And Joshua has always been his assistant. But now Joshua must lead. And the question that kind of begs itself at the beginning of the book of Joshua is, how is Joshua going to go as leader? You know, it's never easy to take over from a great leader. They always say it's easier to take over from a bad leader if you're taking over a job. In any job, it's easier to follow someone who didn't do a very good job because it'll be easier to do a better job. Well, Joshua's got it all against him because no one can imagine anyone as good as Moses. So how will Joshua go as leader? And interestingly, what we're going to see is that Joshua chapter 1 from page 301 is actually all about leading God's people. Leading God's people, because that was the question for Joshua. And actually, it's also the question for us. Because leading God's people is something which continues to this day. And while some of us have very clear leadership roles, and so this chapter is particularly pertinent to us, while that's true, all of us as followers of Jesus are called to lead in some way, whether it's family or in youth or in children or in ministry of some kind or food or whatever it is. So here is a very helpful part of God's word explaining what leading God's people involved. And in Joshua chapter 1, God tells Joshua four very important things about leading God's people. And if you're looking at the news sheet, sadly I changed the order, so you'll get a little confused if you're looking at my points in the news sheet. So four things about leading God's people. Firstly, in leading God's people, the written word of God is to be Joshua's guide. If you're following, this is Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7, where God says to Joshua, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it." Moses, you see, has written down the words that God has given him. Something like our Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The words God had given to Moses, written down. So for the first time in the Bible, we have a Bible, God's word written. And this proto-Bible, to give it a name, we're told here by God, is to be Joshua's daily focus. He's to be careful to be obedient to the words in it. He's to look at them all the time and meditate upon them. Friends, this is actually a significant moment in the Bible. Because here in Joshua is a new principle for leading God's people. The leader of God's people is to be guided by God's word written. And that will then apply to the leaders of God's people from Joshua forward. God's word written. And friends, as we sit here 3,000 years or more years later, we now have the complete word of God, much, much more than Joshua had. We have the news of the salvation in Jesus. We have the complete revelation of God's mind for us in the Bible. So all the more reason why in all we do as Christians, we should meditate on this day and night and be careful to do everything written in it. But even more so when we are to lead in some venture. For the leader sets the direction. The leader sets the focus. And if the Christian leader is off focus, then in a way the project is doomed because the leader's going to go in the wrong direction. And if you're heading in the wrong direction, there's no possibility of arriving in the right place. And the only certain way of a Christian leader being sure that they're on the right path is to be constantly looking at the guidebook. God has here told us where to go. God has here told us what pleases him. And so the Christian leader, more than anybody else, needs to be looking at the Bible. I say this, I preach this to myself and to others. For the Christian leader needs to lead people where God would have them go, where God's word has said we must go. Joshua's leadership is to be directed by God's word. That's what we read here. But the application is clear. Our leadership is to be directed by God's word. Then secondly, Joshua has a God-given task ahead of him. This is in verse 6 of Joshua chapter 1. Be strong and courageous, because you, this is God speaking, you, Joshua, will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors, that's Abraham, I swore to their ancestors to give them. So Joshua is not some leader who's arrived at a time where he can sit back and rest on past achievements. There is a task at hand. The people are outside God's land, and Joshua has the task of leading them in to inherit God's land. It's a very clear task. And in this chapter, Joshua immediately begins to fulfill this task. Verse 10. So Joshua ordered, strong words, Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Joshua is leading the people. He's giving instructions to be prepared for the task ahead. They have to be prepared. In verse 14, Joshua speaks to the people who have been settled on the eastern side of the Jordan. And he says to them, your wives, your children and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you on the east of the Jordan, but all your fighting men ready for battle must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them. Joshua leads the whole people of God to work together to achieve the task before him, together under Joshua's leadership, together. And friends, so it is today in the Christian church that we still have a task before us. And actually, it's a remarkably similar task to that of Joshua's. It's not about entering a land, though. We are to be those who lead people from outside God's kingdom to inherit all that God has promised them in his kingdom. We are to be those who tell people that Jesus has died and risen for them to bring them to God and to inherit all God promises for them. We are to be those who encourage people to accept the message so that they may inherit eternal life in God's kingdom. And that task today still requires organization and leadership, so that in a church, in any Christian organization, there is leadership and organization so that we are working to bring people into God's kingdom and to establish them there, which in a funny way was exactly Joshua's task, to get people into the land and establish them there. But I think there's a problem for us. I think in our laid-back, affluent, beachside culture, we're not too keen on tasks. We like to kind of just lay back and go to the beach, you know. They say we're the country where nothing happens between Melbourne Cup and Australia Day because we all go to the beach. I think we rather like the easy life. Well, I think we're challenged here. You see, you cannot sit on one side of the Jordan when the task is to get to the other side. And we're called to a task of bringing people to Jesus. And we need people who will lead in that task, and we need to go forward. I was greatly moved a few months ago when I'm on a Zoom meeting in one of my weird Anglican meetings with people from all over the world engaged in evangelism and discipleship in Anglican churches. And we were talking on Zoom to a guy in Eastern Congo. There were a number of us from all over the world. And we said, how are things? He said, they're pretty awful. We said, why is that? He said, the civil war has come to our village. We said, what does that mean? He said, well, as I'm speaking to you, and it was the middle of the day, his time, he said, as I'm speaking to you, outside that door, which he showed us, are Rwandan soldiers. We said, is that good or bad? He said, it's very good. The Rwandan soldiers are actually protecting us from the rebels. We said, so what are you doing? He said, we're running a massive evangelism campaign. And this is literally what he said. He said, we want to see people saved before they're killed by the rebels. In other words, what I loved about it, here's a man who's on task. Here's a man, the situation is awful, but they know what the task is and they're getting on with doing the task. Joshua had a God-given task of leading the people into the land. Friends, Christian leaders today have no lesser task of leading people into God's kingdom and getting them established there. Thirdly, God had an expectation of Joshua, an expectation of Joshua's behavior as leader. And God says it three times, and anything said three times in the Bible is always important. If you're following, have a look at verse 6, where God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land. In case Joshua missed it, next verse. Be strong and very courageous. In case Joshua missed it, two verses later. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. In case Joshua missed it, at the end of the chapter, end of verse 18, the people say to Joshua, only be strong and courageous. Joshua had been Moses' assistant for 40 years. You kind of might have thought after 40 years he would have been itching to take over the leadership. A bit like, well, it seems in politics now that every deputy prime minister is always itching to take over from the prime minister, kind of. But actually, it's a daunting thing to lead God's people. And I wonder if Joshua was concerned as to how he would measure up, especially after Moses. So three times God says to him, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Friends, our God is the true God of love who's made the heaven and earth and everything in it. But the world in which we live, by and large, laughs at that idea. So it does take strength and courage in our day to lead God's people. In fact, all Christian ministry takes courage to stand in the face of the world around us. So in whatever area you lead, whatever area, let me tell you that God is calling you to be strong and courageous. Not over the top, but confident in going forward. And we can be confident in going forward. And we can be confident about leading, and we can be strong and courageous because of something else that God tells Joshua three times. Twice directly and once through the people. Again, three times, so it's significant. What is that? Verse 5. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And then verse 17, the people say, just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Three times Joshua hears that God will be with him. He will lead God's people, but he will not do it alone. God will be with him. So no matter what may happen, God will be with Joshua as he leads God's people. As God was with Moses, so he will be with Joshua. As God was with Joshua, Friends, so he will be with you and I as we lead. In this area, again, nothing has changed. God goes with those who faithfully lead his people. In fact, we can go further. No Christian leadership is a solo effort. It's all done with God, through God, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, why is this so important? Well, all leadership is difficult. There's a great quote from Barack Obama of an interview he did a few weeks after he stepped down as president, after being president for 8 years. He was in a high school class answering questions. And one of the students put up their hand and said, "Mr. President, how many of your decisions in the 8 years were really difficult?" And Barack Obama bursts into laughter and says to the student, "Look, you don't understand. If you're the president of the United States, if a problem can be solved, it will have been solved long before it gets to your desk." He said, being president of the United States is actually 8 years of only having on your desk problems which cannot be solved. It's a great quote about leadership. And it applies to Christian leadership as much as anything. And many times if you're leading a Christian venture, it feels like you're doing it all on your own. It feels like it's only you. But for faithful Christian leadership, that is never actually the case. God is always with you. And this applies to all levels of Christian leadership. It doesn't matter whether you're an archbishop or a scripture teacher, a mother or a missionary. As you lead in any activity, God will be with you. He was with Moses. He was with Joshua. He will be with you. One morning at Central Railway Station, a man arrived and went and bought a ticket for the train to Melbourne. That's why he couldn't use his Opel. Long train to Melbourne, long trip. He then found the train and got in and took his seat. A few minutes later, he was near the door. A conductor jumped into the train and gave him a very happy good morning and how are you going? And the conductor said, "Can I look at your ticket?" And he handed his ticket. And the conductor looked at him and said, "You're on the wrong train. This train is heading for Brisbane." And the man said, "Ah, thanks," and jumped off, grabbed all his suitcases, jumped off the train, went back to the ticket office, made some further investigations, went looking for the train to Melbourne. But after a while, the man discovered he'd been on the right train. It was the conductor who jumped onto the wrong train. The conductor, who was meant to be the leader, if I can twist the analogy, the conductor was heading in the wrong direction. The result, those who were meant to be following his lead were led astray. Friends, if Joshua had decided to ignore God's word, if Joshua decided to not worry about getting the people into the land, if Joshua decided to sit back and to try and run God's people himself, the people would have been in huge trouble. But 3,000 years later, nothing has changed. If leaders of God's people ignore God's word, if leaders of God's people are not focused on getting people established in God's kingdom, if leaders of God's people lack courage, and if leaders of God's people attempt to lead in their own strength, then God's people likewise are in serious trouble. Friends, what we need at every level in our church is that those who lead whatever group it's in, whatever, in everything, those who lead God's people are obedient to God's word, focused on God's task, leading with courage and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me pray that God would raise up such leaders amongst us. Let's pray. Our great God and Father, we thank you for this amazing word from in some way so long ago, and yet so very relevant to us as a church today. And we pray for all of us here in church that you would help us to be focused on your word, to be focused on the task you've set us of getting people established in your kingdom. We pray that you'd help us in our weakness to be strong and courageous. And we thank you that in everything we do, you will go with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.